Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, a grave warning and a guaranteed win for believers.
This story is a warning to us. It's a warning and it's an encouragement. It's a warning that says, don't do what he did because there's a price to pay. But it's also an encouragement that says, if you do what he did, there is grace to help in your time of need. I want us to learn together three key lessons from the life of David, from the failure of David, and then from the restoration of David.
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from his heart.
The Bible clearly says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means no one, not a single person, is immune from committing terrible sins. So now what do we do when we blow it? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who today reveals what we can learn from David's great sin and how, like David, we can find forgiveness in the grace of God. Today's lesson is the last and perhaps the most profound one from Pastor Jeff's seven-message series, The Truth in Love. And it's called, When We Blow Past the Guardrails. If you miss any of the broadcast today or any of these lessons that we've aired so far from this dynamic series, you'll want to get a copy of it. It's available on DVDs, CDs, a USB flash drive, or as an immediate MP3 download. Just go online for all the details at fromhisheart.org. Now, open your Bible to the book of 2 Samuel. Here's Pastor Jeff with a timely and practical message about what God can do when you blow past the guardrail.
2 Samuel chapter 11 says this, then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David stayed at Jerusalem. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers and took her. And when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I am pregnant. David blew past the guardrails. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we're going to see that David, the man after God's own heart, broke 5 of the 10 commandments in chapter 11. 5 of the 10. First commandment he broke, commandment number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's spouse or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And David coveted his neighbor Uriah's wife. He committed adultery. That's breaking commandment number 7. He committed murder because he is going to, in chapter 11, end up murdering Uriah the Hittite to cover up his sin. And he breaks that commandment. And then he breaks the commandment number 9 of false witness because he lied to Uriah the Hittite. He deceived Uriah the Hittite. And then he breaks commandment number 8, he steals Uriah's wife. David knew the 10 commandments, and he broke all 5 of the 10 in one chapter, with one act that led to another act, that led to another act, that led to another act. I want us to learn together 3 key lessons from the life of David, from the failure of David, and then from the restoration of David. This message, it's for all of us, but it's especially to students, to young singles, to young marrieds and young moms and young dads. because you can wreck and ruin your life if you're not careful, and God wants you to be careful. Lesson number one, no one is immune from committing terrible, horrible sin. Egregious sin. No one is immune from that. And I think to have this situation in David's life, David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, the man who's talked about more than anybody else and more than any mortal man in the scripture, and David committed these terrible, horrible sins. The sin of lust and adultery and stealing and murder and lying. David did that. No one is immune from terrible, horrible sin. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. To the one who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Now, between standing and falling, the scripture says, take heed. That word blepo in the Greek, one word in the Greek, it means beware. If you think you stand, beware lest you fall. So let's beware of some things together. First of all, beware that you don't begin to coast. David began to coast in his life. David's about 50 years old, maybe early 50s, maybe 50, 51, 52, something like that. He became king when he was 30, king of Judah in Hebron. And then 7.5 years later, he became king over all 12 tribes of Israel. And he set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. It's called the City of David. So David has been king now for 20 years, 21 years, 22 years, something like that. And he has won battle after battle after battle. He started battling when he was just a kid, 15 years old or so, when he beat Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And so he has had 35 years or more of fighting battles and winning battles. And it says in verse 1, at the time when the kings go out to battle, David didn't go. He stayed home, stayed at Jerusalem. He was beginning to coast. You can't coast in the Christian life. The Bible says, watch over your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues, the springs of life. And what did David do? He let his guard down. He was just beginning to coast. See, he was like, I don't need, Joab, you go and whip up on the Ammonites. I'm gonna stay here and just kind of lounge around. Just be idle with not a lot on my plate. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Guard your heart. Don't let your guard down, because you let your guard down, and here's the devil. He'll come and punch you right in the heart. And that's what he did to David. Beware that you don't begin to coast. Beware that you don't begin to compromise. We read in scripture that David had eight wives by name, counting Bathsheba, because he's going to marry her after he rubs out Uriah the Hittite, eight wives, plus a bunch of girlfriends, a bunch of concubines. The concubines were the girls in his harem. And so we read this story and we think, well, David, you had a wife. You had more than one wife. You had several wives. You had seven that are named before Bathsheba. And then you have a harem full of women, and yet you want this man's wife. You want Bathsheba, who is very beautiful. Beware of compromise. See, when we read this in chapter 11, we say, man, David just all of a sudden, he just, boom, he just fell. I mean, how do you go from walking with God to you just fall off the cliff? He didn't do that. David began to compromise in his life. Deuteronomy 17:17 gives the outline and the commandments for the king. And one of the things it says is he's not to multiply wives to himself. But when David became king over all Israel, we read these words in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 13. Meanwhile, David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he came from Hebron, and more sons and daughters were born to David. David is adding wives, like old MacDonald, here a wife, there a wife, everywhere a wife, wife. He just starts to add some wives, and he's building up the harem. He's not supposed to do that. Now, nobody looked at that because so many kings had so many wives, and a lot of them were wives by political alliance and things like that. So they didn't look at it in the culture like, oh, he's doing something terrible. But God had said, here's the guardrail, don't do this. And so when we read in chapter 11 of David falling, how did that happen? Listen, erosion always precedes implosion. When you see a man who just implodes, a woman who just implodes in terrible, horrible sin, just know it didn't happen like that all at once. They were eroding away little by little by little. Proverbs 24, Solomon is looking out at a vineyard. It was all broken down and covered in weeds, and there was no fruit. And he looked at that vineyard. He said, when I saw it, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. And this is what was told to him: a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in as a robber, and your need, your want, like an armed man. Solomon said, I learned when I saw that broken down vineyard, it didn't get like that all at once. It got like that little by little by little. Hey, beware that you don't begin to coast. Beware that you don't begin to compromise. Beware that you don't begin to rationalize. David, no doubt, was rationalizing. You know, so he gets up. It says in the evening time when people go to bed, that's when David got up from bed. And he's walking around. He's just been doing a bunch of nothing. He's been idle. Idleness is never good. There's an old phrase that an idle brain is the devil's playground. And so David has been idle. He gets up from bed in the evening time. He walks out on the roof of his palace and he sees a woman bathing, and she's very beautiful in appearance. And the Bible commentators that I read said, you know, Bathsheba is probably not lily white in this sin. At any time she could have said, David is not a rapist. At any time she could have said, no, I'm not doing this. But she obviously was interested in him. He has tremendous power, and God's hand is upon him, and he's the king. But he sees her, and no doubt, the scripture doesn't tell us this, but this is how sin works. We begin to rationalize our sin. So he knows it's wrong to lust for a woman, but he sees her. She's so beautiful. And, there's nothing wrong with taking a look. I mean, I'm just window shopping here. I'm not really doing anything that I shouldn't do. That's what he's telling himself. He's rationalizing. And then when he inquires about her, the guys are saying, hey, David, who is this woman? She's Bathsheba. She's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. She's married, David. But he doesn't. He blows past that. Well, I'm just going to bring her over, get to know her a little bit. It's just like opening the door to sin. And that's what he did. And so the rationalization. And then when he finds out she's pregnant, then he's got to figure out, what do I do now? I'll just get Uriah to come back, and I'll call Uriah back from the battle, because he's out there with Joab fighting my battles, and I'll get him to come. And when he comes home, I'll send him to his house, and he'll be there with his wife, and then nobody will be the wiser. But Uriah had too much honor. He wouldn't do that. So David said, well, let me get him drunk. I'll get him drunk and then he'll do it. But Uriah drunk had more honor than David sober in this instance. And so nothing worked for David. So he wrote a note and told Joab, send Uriah into the fiercest part of the battle and withdraw from him so that he would die. And he sealed the note and he gave it to Uriah to give it to Joab. He was carrying his own death sentence, and he had no idea. Uriah, who would have died for David's honor, died by David's hand. And no doubt the way that David justified this and rationalized this in his own mind was like, well, who's to say he wouldn't have been killed in battle anyway? And so, maybe I had a hand in it, or maybe I didn't. Rationalization, we rationalize. You know what rationalize really is, if you break it down? It's rational lies. We tell ourselves rational lies. We believe the rational lies so that we will go over the cliff, bypass the guardrail, and we say, you know, I think the grass is greener on the other side of the guardrail. No, on the other side of the guardrail, there's a cliff and there are rocks, and that's what you're going to find there. So beware that you don't begin to rationalize, and then be aware that God sees it all. The Lord is not mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 11 till you get to the very last line of the last verse. But the thing that David did was evil in the sight of the Lord. The thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord. Hey, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. God sees it all. You don't pull anything over on God. And as the scripture says, be sure your sin will find you out. Hey, no one is immune from committing terrible, horrible sin. You let your guard down, you start to coast, you start to compromise, you start to rationalize, and what happened to him can easily happen to you because no one is immune. There is no temptation that has overtaken you that is uncommon to man. All temptation is common to man, and no one is immune. Second lesson, no one is immune from the damaging consequences of sin. So you're not immune to committing terrible, horrible sin. That's why you have to guard your heart. You have to be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You have an enemy within, and that enemy is called the flesh, and that flesh wants to murder and lust and do and steal and do all these terrible things and gossip and be bitter. Your flesh inside. And so we have to be on guard all the time. No one is immune from the terrible, horrible sins, and no one is immune from the damaging consequences of sin. The Bible says in the book of James, when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. But now, as we see in David's story, it doesn't bring them immediately. It always brings them eventually. Says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. As one man said, the wheels of God's justice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. Don't you know that David, when he had that night of passion with Bathsheba, I mean, that wasn't like getting a root canal. That was fun. That was exciting. That was thrilling. The devil is too smart to go fishing without any bait on his hook. He baits the hook, but then the bills come due. It's all fun and games until the bills come due. And the scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, he's going to speak the truth in love to David, and David's going to think it's more truth than love. He said, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man is David. The poor man, Uriah, but David doesn't realize he's being set up. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom. It was like a daughter to him. Then a traveler came to the rich man. The traveler in David's situation was lust. A traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him, but he took the poor man's ewe lamb. He took Bathsheba and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. And he must make restitution for the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and had no compassion. Nathan then said to David, you are the man. You are the man. And what you've done is so much worse than the story that I just told you. No one is immune from the damaging consequences of sin. First of all, there is the internal damage that takes place when you go over the guardrail, when you blow past the guardrail, when you just, I'm going into sin. The grass is greener on the other side of this guardrail. God's truth, I don't like it. I don't buy it. I'm going to do my own thing. And you go over there. Hey, there are consequences that come from going over the guardrail. And you can choose to go over the guardrail, but what you can't choose is you can't choose the consequences for going over the guardrail. The consequences choose you. You can choose to go on the top of a 50-story building and jump off, but you can't choose to do 4 black flips, land on your feet, get in your car, and drive home. Once you make the choice to jump off the building, then the consequences and the law of gravity are going to take over. David broke 5 commandments. Somebody said one time, you know, you really don't break God's laws. You're broken on them. And David's going to be broken on them. There's the internal damage that comes, especially comes to a Christian who sins against the Lord, who goes over the guardrail, willingly, knowingly goes over the guardrail. And the scripture says, Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sin will not prosper. And David wasn't prospering. And he had guilt, and he had shame, and he had isolation because he was cut off from God, because he wasn't right with God. Did he go worship? Yeah, he went to worship. Just like so many of us do. He went to worship and he's singing the songs, but he's not right in his heart and he knows it. And everything is hollow and his prayers are hollow and his scripture reading is hollow. The poem I like says this, no torture the poets feign can match that fierce unutterable pain who day and night devoid of rest carries his own accuser within his breast.
Well, David's condition was depressing at best, and dangerous too. But as we ought to know and trust, God is a forgiving God. God is a gracious God. God is a loving God. And God will restore his children as they seek his face. Today you heard part 1 of the message entitled, When You Blow Past the Guardrail, as David surely did and have many of us. Now, tomorrow we'll learn how God stepped in to rescue David. And that allows David to do some wonderful things that glorified God. And that can happen to us as well. Just imagine what God will do through you as you turn to him and live faithfully for Jesus and share his truth with boldness and love. To be sure, God will use you to help lead others to Jesus. Now, one of the ways he can also use you is through your partnership with ministries like From His Heart. As Pastor Jeff shares truth and love each and every day on well over 850 radio stations across the nation and on TV stations and networks in 182 countries every week, your support allows that to happen. So thank you for giving generously to help us continue teaching God's truth on television, radio, and online. For your gift of support this month, we'll send you Pastor Jeff's timely 7-message series, The Truth in Love, which includes today's lesson, When You Blow Past the Guardrails. But we just heard part 1 today. The series, of course, will have the complete message. As well as messages like, What is Happening to Our World? Silence is Not an Option. Boy Meets Girl. And 3 more. The series is available in the format of your choice. Just call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE. Or go online to fromhisheart.org to make your gift. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be able to be right back here to join Pastor Jeff tomorrow for part 2 of the last foundational message to the Truth in Love series. It's called, When You Blow Past the Guardrail. That's on Thursday, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.